Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. There's a little tinniness. I kind of want to pay. Check it out back there. I'm going to go back into Psalms 27. Last week we began in there and kind of shared the first part of it. This is a psalm written by David. And David is one that we can learn a lot from, right? He had a lot going on in his life. As we get to the end of this psalm, you'll find the one thing that it stops, or I should say it ends on, is wait on the Lord. We find in David's life, he had to wait. And he did a lot of situations, had a lot of situations taking place in his life, good and bad, right? So that gives us an idea that we're going to have good and bad situations taking place in our life as well. But also, to get to that point of waiting, you know, he was a young child when he was told he was going to be a king. And it took many, many years for that to transpire. And then it took like another 7 years after that to really become king over Jerusalem itself. And so it was a time frame of God doing a lot in his life and developing David, and David developing with the things of the Lord. But it goes to show us that even though something has been spoken to you, or you received something from God as you were reading his word, and God just prompted something in your spirit saying, I'm going to do this in your life. You're going to do this for me. I'm going to have you do this or that or whatever it is. Please remember that it may be 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 years down the road, depending upon age and when you receive it. I find that as I'm kind of walking through this, that it's hard to do that, to wait upon the Lord. And I just want to share this, and hopefully I can go back to where I want to get into. But as we know, as a people, we are a people that are anxious, and we want things happening now, you know. And I had something happen this week that just kind of really amplified this into me as far as the society that we're in, that it's hard for us to wait. When God's word says wait, we've got to wait. But we live in a time that is phenomenal, don't you agree? A lot of bad things happening, but there's also good things happening. Technology and advances and things out there. And I bring this up only because this past week, I ordered something online. I didn't used to do that years ago because I didn't trust it. So I've gained trust. It's gained my trust somewhat. You know, I'm pretty sensitive to those things, but I can trust those things. Anyway, it's many times now we've gone online. But I ordered something on a Thursday, this past Thursday. I think it was between 3:30 and 4 that I finalized my order. And the shipping was $4.96 or whatever for 5 to 6 days or 3 to 5 days or whatever. No big deal. I'm not in a hurry for it. It's supposed to come Wednesday or Thursday of this next week. I get a notice on my phone, because we're all hooked up to the phone, from UPS and shipping and all this, that I've got a package coming tomorrow sometime. And so this article that I ordered Thursday afternoon, 4 p.m., I had it on my doorstep Friday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 24 hours. That is crazy. And I didn't pay extra overnight express $12, $20 shipping. I just took the basic cheap shipping, let it get here next Wednesday. So with that, you can kind of see how a society we are into now. I told somebody, I said, I did just as good ordering it there and going over on the other side of town to pick it up if they had it on hand. And then if I got there, they might not have had it, to get it and just order it at home and be done with it and have it come to my doorstep. So we live in this type of age and technology that I think is gearing us up to the now. We can't wait. I want it now. It's got to be here. It's got to be here in 3 hours. It's got to be here by 2 days, whatever the case is. So when we look at God's word, we've got to remember that God's time schedule is not UPS schedule. It's not FedEx. It's not Amazon or any of these guys. You know, God has that preset time. But let us get into, and I think we'll get to that time of waiting and share a little bit more about that. But in this Psalm of 27, we find out that last week when we began it, the first couple of verses, the first six or so verses, David, things were going good for David. You can refresh your memory if you want to go back and read verses 1 through 6. But life was good. Things were good, happening to David. Because he was looking at giving all kinds of compliments. You know, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Who shall I fear? I will seek, and things of that nature. You know, we talked about that last week, seeking him. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that seek. Because on chapter or verse 7 on, we begin to find out that life begins to become difficulty in David's life. So now he's going from the times of life is good and thanking God and praising him and what he's doing to the difficult time of David. So let's read 7 to 10. Psalms 27, 7 to 10. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. There's a lot being said from 7 to 10. But we find out that David is saying, when I cry with my voice, have mercy. The only time we cry generally out to God is when we're going through what? Difficulties, problems. Now, it's great if we can get to that level of crying out to the Lord in praise and worship when everything's going well, and we should be doing that as well. But generally, when you find out somebody is going before God, and when does somebody usually call you to pray for them? When things are going bad. I've never had somebody call me and say, Pastor Tim, would you just give a shout out of praise to God for me because everything's going perfect in my life. No. When the phone rings and it's like, Pastor Tim, I need prayer. This is happening. That is happening. This I've been found out about. This I've got to take care of. This is on my plate and I don't know how it's going to happen. I got this news from my doctor. I've got a bill that's due. Then we call out, and that's when David is talking about here. He's crying out to God in a time of need. And I want to encourage you to cry out to God in the time of need. And then learn to cry out to him in praise and worship, even during the times of need, or when everything is going good. Thank you, Lord, everything's going good. So the first part of the psalm is full of praise to God. We now find David is going through a time of prayer over situations. And when we get to verse 14, we're going to find out that he's waiting on the Lord. But let's look at that word seek. So as I look at that word, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. To seek. Anybody here been seeking the Lord lately? To seek the Lord. To diligently look for. To search earnestly for, until you find what you're searching for. Now, nothing like having, I'm on a mission. Anybody heard that? Boy, I'm on a mission and they will not stop until that mission is completed, you know? Well, we've got to have a mission of seeking the Lord. We've got a mission of, you know, to seek his face at all times. Don't give up. To diligently look for him every day. In every situation, good or bad. To search earnestly until you find what you're searching. Has anybody searched for God and found him? I have. When I'm going through a situation, I just marvel at his love, his compassion, his attention, his attentiveness to little old Tim. Now, when he's busy with me, if he can't get to your problem, forgive me, because I'm taking his time. No. God is taking care of all of us. He can handle that because he's God. Amen? So, you know, you don't have to call your neighbor or your prayer partner saying, hey, are you bothering God right now? Because I need to call up and I got a problem. Are you on the line with him? No. You just seek his face diligently. Seek it, searching earnestly. We get into verse 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, it says here what? Then the Lord will take care of me. You know, David is looking at us even as our parents, and we pretty well know generally our parents will take care of us. They will help us. They will cover for us. They will provide for us. They will do things for us. They want to see us succeed, mostly. Now, there's difficulties in parenting and things out there that we would look at individually, but I'm going to say on the whole, when you think of mom and dad, you're thinking of, I've got an assurity there that I'm going to be taken care of. I was with my mom and dad. I hope you were. And if not, I'm so sorry, you know. But praise God. Because what David is saying, that even if my father and my mother forsake me, forsake them, you know, turn their back on them, or they don't help them, or they're not there for them, what does it say? David is saying that then the Lord will do what? Take care of me. So even in our days of family situations, even on this date, that when trials and those things happen in our families, there is a heavenly Father that is a whole lot better, believe it or not, for sure, even than your earthly father and mother. And even if your earthly father and mother were very good to you, just magnify that a gazillion times on how good God is to you, because He loves you, He has your best. Didn't my mom and dad had my best interest and concern for me? And God has that same thing for me. He has that same thing for you, your best interest. He wants to see you succeed. He is not there to watch you flounder and fail and fall down and stay down. When those times happen, He's there to lift you up, to nurture you, to strengthen you, to give you strength, to give you a reason and a purpose to go on, right? And when we cry out, it's Jeremiah 29 talks in there. When we cry out and we pray to Him, He will listen. If we listen, if we pray with our whole heart and listen and obey Him. So as we get into that realm, you know, even if our parents fail us, the Lord will take care of us. It talks, and I read this article here where it says, His love transcends our parents' love. To transcend. God's love will transcend even the parents' love. To transcend is to do what? The meaning is to rise above or beyond the limits of. So as he's looking at this, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. And it is just showing this love that transcends that of our earthly parents. And so if it's over and above that, that tells me that God's love goes beyond that of my mother and father here on earth. It's to triumph over the negative or the restrictiveness of things. But God loves you today. God is there for you today, no matter what your age, no matter where you've come from, no matter where you think you've been, bad times, bad places, or whatever. Understand this today, if you don't understand anything else, that God loves you, and His love will transcend that of even your parents. And I'm thankful for that. Remember, I just said that my parents, I loved them and they loved me, and it was a great relationship. In verse 11 to 13, if I look at that, it says here, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me into a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me." Anybody out there said something negatively about you and it was false? Has anybody said something that really, you know, like, that's not me? They're saying things that's not right. I was a totally different person than what they're, you know, leading on to let people believe or understand of me. Let the Lord bring you on that smooth path again. Let those things happen and shake them off. Don't ponder them and think on them. Do not deliver me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have been risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless what? I had what? What does your word say there? Believed? Believed. I would have lost heart with all these things, false witnesses, enemies rising up against me, all these things are coming against me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever the case might be, all week, all month, last decade has been a battle, whatever it is, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That you will see the hand of God in your life and in your situation. So we find that 11 to 13 that we just read, It talks of, teach me, Lord, lead me, Lord. And it ends with David saying, believing in God. I want to encourage you today to say the same thing. Talking to the Lord, teach me, Lord. Teach me your way. Lead me. I'm going to tell you, if you're on a path or wherever you're at in life and it's pretty rough and it's bumpy and got a lot of potholes, allow God to lead you on that and allow Him to begin to fill in those potholes. Let Him take care of those rough bumps. Let Him begin to make your way smooth. There's no better way to understand that sometimes than you go around town and there's been some new asphalt or blacktop put down on Crosby Road and Willard and all going over to Willard Bridge. And now, prior to that, we've been here for many years, over 25 years now, but it's like, my goodness, that road has always been rough there. Even though it was concrete, the seams and the way they were, just like, da-dung, 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 da-dung. Anybody been there? How rough it was. Even at that time, there wasn't a lot of holes, but it's just the way it was put together and just the seams. Da-dung, da-dung, da-dung. It's like, man, this is rough. Well, over even the multiple several decades, or 10 to 20 years now, it's gotten worse, very rough. But now I drove on it just the other day, and I hadn't known that they had just resurfaced it. And now it is so smooth. If anybody's not been there, let's go there after service. Follow me. I want to show you a good road. Go up River Road. It's a beautiful road in front of Cedar Crest, you know. It's just like, yeah. But think of that, of your times and struggles that you're in right now, of how rough, how many bumps, how many potholes you're dealing with, and then allow God to come through there. And let Him put your path and straighten and smooth out that path that He has you on. Or that you've put yourself on that may be off of His path. Let Him get you back on His path. Amen? So when I look at this word of believed, I would have lost heart unless I had believed. To believe the things of God, to believe what God is about and what God has for you, that word has a meaning of to be firm, to be stable, to believe, to be established. So we look at that. I would have lost heart unless I had believed, unless I had been firm or stable or had been established. That I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And David would have lost heart. Many of you today have lost heart. You've lost heart because you've lost that belief enough of God. Because maybe you've gone through a lot of stuff, and I hate to hear that, but I want to encourage you that God is still there. Some of our counsel to people, whether it's just out in the road or out on the restaurant or friends or whoever, you hear of struggles in people's lives, and all you can say is just keep believing. Know that God, establish that. Be established in that belief and understanding of who God is. And don't let your temporal surroundings and situations that you're going through right now shake that. Amen? Remain firm. And then as we get to the final of this area, is talking about wait on the Lord, to be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I can't wait if it's going to be longer than 24 hours, because I can order stuff and I can get stuff here now from warehouse to my front door in 24 hours. Wow. And it wasn't coming from Janesville. Now granted, it was coming from the Chicago area. But it's just how it worked, okay? So you're saying, well, yeah, you probably got it because it was a store right down the road from you. No, it had to go through some transitional times. But as David is saying here, he's saying wait on the Lord. As we look at that word wait, it's wait in faith. We find that in faith. You've got to have faith that God is there for you. Where is your faith level at today? You know, if we could poke you like we do, like when the turkey is ready, anybody done that, you know? Poke that thing in there. Let's just see how hot that bird is inside. Boom. Well, it's got another 20 degrees to go. Put her back in, you know. But if we could have some kind of a faith measurer, faith, some kind of a probe, come up here and we just put a thing on your forehead and okay, what level of faith are you at? Where are you at today? Where are you at in the midst of your storm? Where are you at in the adversity? Because in the storm and the adversity and the problems and the situation that you can't control, that's when you want your faith level to be really, really high. To trust, to lean on, to believe on the things of God, that He's there for you. And that He will smooth out that road you're on, that He will bring the high places low and the low places high, that He will take the crooked places out of the path and set you on a straight path. Hallelujah. Believe, trust, have faith that He will do that for you. And when that happens and it's not happening, maybe you ought to ask Him, what am I doing, Lord, that's causing this not to happen like I think You would like for it to happen, Lord? I believe there's a lot of times we leave a lot of blessings on the table with God. Because we're bullheaded, we'll do it our way, it doesn't happen fast enough, it's not the way that I would do it, I've got the plan, God, just let me do this. We kind of touched that upon in Sunday school in Galatians chapter 4 about the Gentiles and you'd have to be there. Come out on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school hour. But we want to do God's. If God said He's going to do this, we want to somehow get in there and say, well, it's not going fast enough, so I think I know what God wants to do, so I think I can do that. And I will accomplish it by my own measures, by my own ways of doing it, and then it'll happen. Now, it might happen, but it won't happen to the fulfillment of what God would have. And it may not happen because we get our ways into it and we mess it up. But it's going to take faith. So where is your faith at? Hallelujah. As we think of this word, faith, to wait, to have courage, to have strength. That's what today is for us today. We need to be able to wait for what the Lord has said He will do, have strength to persevere, to stand. And then when we talk about waiting, it says to wait far, to look far, to expect, to have a hope. So I just wonder, there's been many times in my prayer life that I've prayed for something and it hasn't quite happened, hasn't quite materialized or come about. And I get to the point sometimes like, oh boy, do I just want to pray one more? Do I want to even pray for this anymore? Oh man. Then something in my spirit says, but maybe it's just that one more prayer to just pass over, you know, to get that blessing from God here. Maybe it's to pass through that powers and principalities and that spiritual battle taking place, like in that prayer of Daniel, where it was 20 and one days for that prayer to come. You know, that probably what kind of went into my thought process after understanding that is like, well, when I prayed that prayer, I know that my God heard that prayer. And I've got to stand in praise. I want to thank Him for it to come. And I do all that. You know, after so many days, weeks, time, whatever the case is, I'll say, Lord, I've prayed this. I know You've heard this, and I thank You for the coming of it. But then maybe another month goes by, and I'll say, well, Lord, where's this at? When's it going to hit? When's it going to happen? When's it going to hit, you know? And all of a sudden, my spirit will say, maybe just I'm going to pray one more time. I know He heard me the first time. But maybe I'm praying to let the devil know that I'm not giving up, that I'm going to pray again. Because, Lord, this is the situation. This is what I think I need. You know, Thy will be done. But I'm still going to be involved in this up to the level that I need to be. And it's all up in Your hands because Thy will. Let Thy will be done, Lord. But this is what I'm sensing I need. This situation has to take place in my home, in my job, in my life, in whatever the case might be. And I'm going to continue to ask until I get an answer from You. And if it's an answer that even though I don't agree with, I want it to be Your will. And if it's Your will and it's not what I thought it was going to be, give me an understanding and a rest to say, but this is the best thing and this is what I need to receive and God knows better. Amen? God knows better what you need than you know what you need. Isn't that interesting? Because he sees it. He knows it. He knows the beginning to the end. He knows what's going to benefit you a day later, a week later, a year later. And if you do it this way, it's not going to have the same outcome. And I think in our lives today and any day and all the times that we serve him, we want the outcome to be to his glory. We want the outcome of our lives lived to meet the needs, or not meet the needs, but meet the destination that he has for us, the destiny that he has planned for us. It's not that we want to work our way, we want to work his way. Work God's way in your situation. Let God be the God of your life. Are you allowing God to be the God of your life? Have you fully surrendered to him? Are you willing to, even though you're surrendered and you go through a problem, do you back away from him and worry about your problem? Or does that problem drive you closer to him? Only you can answer that. We've said it before, but it's those times too that when you're going through a problem or adversity is don't run from God. Run to God. The enemy wants you to run from your source of help. And the enemy will do what all he can do to get you confused, get you agitated, to get you anxious, to get you fretting, to have you go through all kinds of things. And we've said this before, that once you get into that level of everything spinning in your head, if I were a betting man, I would bet you're going to make the wrong decision. How about you? Because you're not thinking clearly. Once you lose that focus, once you lose that ability to think clear, crazy things happen and you make some dumb mistakes. And then you look back going, oh my gosh, why did I do this? It's because the enemy got you running in circles, fretful, worried, not knowing to stand and allow God to do that for you and to do that battle, to do whatever it is for your benefit. So as David is in the beginning of 27 was sharing some good things, and now he's at the end of 27 talking about praying and seeking and believing. I want to go to wait upon the Lord is to demonstrate a confident expectation. And it's also a Hebrew word that could also mean translated as hope. So to wait, to demonstrate a confident expectation. Isn't it great that, you know, even in a storm that you can just stand and all hell is surrounding you, but you can stand because you're not going to give up, because you know where your help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. You're going to know who's there for you. He is there for you. And so when those things are happening in your life, don't let those situations dictate how you're going to respond. You respond strong. You respond firmly on who you know you are in Christ. Amen. As a child of God, as a child of his kingdom, he will not let you go down. He will protect you and keep you. We find this as far as, I should have gone back here, Psalms 41 real quick. And it's just to pick up on that weight. Psalms 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the rock to stay, oh. Yeah, a joy, hallelujah. That's what he's about. But that's wait. I waited patiently for him. I want to go into Isaiah very well there, and you're familiar with this in Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, 31. It's where we get our song, that they that wait upon the Lord, amen. But in Isaiah 40, 31, it says, but those who wait on the Lord are going to be beaten down, losing power, be whipped, have no strength. No. It says this, they that wait on the Lord, they will renew their strength. If you are here today and you need your strength renewed, don't wait on me. Wait on the Lord. Amen. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait upon the Lord. David, sharing in Psalms, wait. I believe. I will seek. I will wait upon you, Lord. Telling the message of today for you. And the main thing out of all of that, yes, is believe and to seek his face, you know, earnestly until you find it. But out of all of that, leave out today realizing that you need to wait upon the Lord. Renew your strength in Him. Has anybody had that instant happen in your life to where you were battling and just beat? And you finally just surrendered it to the Lord? Or even in the very beginning, you turned it over to God. And you were going through battles, and finally there was a breakthrough to the point. Maybe it didn't win that victory just that instant, but there's times that when I have turned things over to Him and I say, Lord, I'm going to just wait on you. You know this situation. You know this problem. You know what it's doing in my thoughts, or it's on my heart, weighing me down. I am waiting upon you, Lord. I'm casting my care upon you, Father. And as I cast that care upon you, you're there to take that. And I feel like some, I don't want to say a resurgence of mighty strength or whatever, but I feel like a weight's been lifted off. Has anybody been there? Have you had a situation in dealing with and you finally surrendered it to God? And you said, I've tried it, I hear God. And I know God would say, well, it's about time, Tim, because sometimes Tim's bullheaded. I know you guys aren't. But even in my times, I think I'll try. But I've learned more and more and more, the longer you're with Him, don't even have a second thought about, let me try to do this. It's like when it's something out of my control or something that's really going to take an intervention. Anybody here need an intervention? We talk about that in the natural. We need an intervention. What's that mean? We need some outside sources here because we in this together are not making headway. We're just, I need an intervention. Same thing in the spiritual battles, the things that we go through. Let there be a godly intervention. And I'm going to wait upon you, Lord. Thank you, Father. So, hallelujah. As I close out this segment of the service,